Bible Speak. As always, we are excited and delighted to be able to go into God's Word to see what He has to say concerning the questions on your minds and hearts today. This is a live call and radio broadcast where you can call in your questions and we'll go to the Bible for the answers. The lines are open, so go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. We say often that it's so important to go to God's Word for the answer and His Word alone. We do not need the words of men. We do not need the words of women. We do not need the words of the preacher. We do not need the words of the pastor. We don't need the words of those who might even label themselves as reverend, although the Bible says holy and reverend is His name. The only one that we need is the Lord, and He gives us His answers by way of His Word, His Word which is Spirit-filled. So let us take the mindset that we're going to go to God's Word every time, without exception, for the answer. And whatever He says, we're going to be satisfied with that. We're not going to do more than what the Bible says. We're not going to do less than what the Bible says. We're not going to do anything other than just what the Bible says. We're going to let the Bible speak. And so we encourage you right now to go ahead and call in your question. Again, that number is 308-9564. That's the number here at the station to call in your question. Again, that's 308-9564.
So now is your opportunity to join us as we go to the Bible for the answers and be able to look there for the answers that pertain to life and godliness, and we will be able to be equipped by God Himself so we can know what to do in serving Him and honoring Him in this life. So the lines are available. There's two lines available at 308-9564. That is our voice line. And so we want you to know that you can go ahead and call right now and give us your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. That's 308-9564. And we also have a text line. If you would rather text in your question, you can do so at 725-9283. Now, we want you to know if you have friends or relatives or somebody in other parts of the world, they too can join us, even though it may not be through their radio. They can join us by the Internet, simply by going to our website, which is BibleAlone.com. So if you have friends or relatives in other parts of the world, anywhere in the world, they can get online and go to www.BibleAlone.com. and hit the live stream button, and they too will be able to join us right now as we go to the Bible for all the answers. So if you do have a relative and you're doing that, be sure to let them know that this is area code 843. It is area code 843 in this part of the United States. And so let them know that, and thus they can join in and call in their questions as well. Now, the voice line is 843-308-9564. They can either go live, and if they choose to go live, we only ask two things of them. One, that they give us their name so we can address them and be courteous by addressing them by name. Then also, we ask them to be ready to turn down the radio. If they're listening via the radio, then we ask them to be ready to turn that down so there will not be an echo that will cause confusion. And so please let them know, or be sure to know that if you want to call in and go live over the air, we ask you to turn your radio down as we begin to talk, and that you be able to do that upon our conversation beginning. Again, that live line and the voice line is 308-9564. The text line in, again, it's area code 843-725-9283, 725-9283, and that is our text line, and you can text in your questions that way. Now, also, you'll find on our website, if you choose to go to our website, at any time, you'll find previous broadcasts of this program, a couple of years' worth, and you can choose to go through and study through those broadcasts at any time. So don't miss out on that. You can listen to them, pause it, look up the verses, make certain those things are right. And by the way, if we say or do anything that is contrary to what God says in His Word, you'll be our friend to correct us. And the reason for that is Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, that if we come up with a different message than what was taught back then, that's a different gospel. We are perverting the gospel, and thus we're to be accursed. And so we do not have that right to do that without being cursed. And you will be our friend if you will help us. If we have changed something or come up with something that's not contained in God's word, you would be our friend to show us that. And we will go to the Bible for those answers. And by in turn, we would expect the same from you. And so we want to go and see what God has to say, because, you know, whether it is you or I or anyone else, as Nick just brought out, we do not have the right to come up with any teaching or doctrine of righteousness, of what would be right or what would be wrong of ourselves, because all the righteousness is revealed from faith to faith right there in God's word, and thus we must follow it. So we're going to let the Bible speak to all the questions that you bring up pertaining to life and godliness. So don't miss out on calling in your questions right now, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. So get your Bible, get a piece of paper and pencil ready so you can write down the answers and check these things out so that God will be able to be heard and you're not listening to man. So please do not listen to us. Let's just let God be the one that we're listening to as we go to his word. The numbers again, if you want to call by voice, 308-9564 or texting at 725-9283.
We want to take this time and opportunity to thank those of you who have been listening week after week. We do appreciate that. And we do hope the things that we've shared with you have been beneficial to you. That is to say, it's helped you as you've grown, and we're praying that you're growing as a student of the Scripture. We stress the importance of not just listening and being entertained by this. That should not be the motivation, but rather you should be listening with the intent of how can I go search these things out and see if these things are so. And if these things are so, how can I allow God's word by way of the Holy Spirit, his spirit-filled word, how can I allow that to change my life? The word of God is living and powerful, but only if I allow it to work in my life, if I take it in. And so that really should be your motivation. So as you're studying, we want to encourage you more and more to listen to these things. But to search them out to make sure that they're so, and if you find that they are so, to apply them to your life so that God can change you from the inside out. But he can only do that if you take his word and hide them in your heart. And so we want to encourage you in that. The Bible talks about being doers of the word, not hearers only, in James chapter 1. So we want to encourage you to be that kind of person that's a doer of the word, not a hearer only. The passage there in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Romans 10, 17, says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so you hear God's word, that should build your faith, that should strengthen your faith. And if you're believing something a certain way, when you see it in God's word, you have to have the kind of courage necessary to change. And it may mean that you're going to hurt your friend's feeling. It may mean that you're going to hurt your parents' feeling. It may mean that you're going to hurt a spouse's feeling. But you have to choose God above all of them. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so the way we do that, the way we can have a confidence, is by going to God's word every time, reading it for ourselves, making sure it says what it says. And if it's in there, ladies and gentlemen, let us take the courage to stand there. Let us make our profession strong and sure by standing on the things that's been revealed in God's word. He's given us this book for a reason, so that we can know with absolute certainty what his will is. Many of you may be like me and Ricky here, and many of them that we know, when we pray, we get on our knees and we say, "Thy will be done." Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have to come to know his will so that we can recognize when his will is being done. And that's part of the reason of this broadcast. We encourage you now to go ahead and call in your question. Let us go to God's word to find out what his will is, as it's revealed in his inspired word. So go ahead and call right now. Again, that number is 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564. If you prefer, you can text us. That text number is 725-9283. 725-9283. In a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a correspondence course that will be available to you. We'll give you another number to call. And we talk about this week after week, but that's going to be available to you as well, so that you can sign up for a correspondence course or a what we might call a in-the-mail Bible study. We use the term correspondence course, but it's an in-the-mail Bible study. We will send you a lesson. You fill it out. You send it back to us. We'll grade it and send it back to you. Now, the grades, we're grading it only by the scriptures. So, you know, you'll have scriptures there. You'll be able to validate it. These things are, in fact, so. If that's something that you are interested in, we'll mention this several times today throughout the broadcast. Take advantage of it. Again, these are just tools and helps to aid you in your study of the Word of God. We cannot spend enough time studying the Word of God. And so this is a free tool for you, something that you don't have to purchase. We're not going to chase behind you for money. This is absolutely free of charge. Freely you have received, Jesus says, freely give. And so go ahead, when we start to talk about this, when we give you more information on it, take advantage of it. So keep your ears open for that. But right now you can go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, and we will try to answer your questions from God's Word.
We're going to give you details about that in just a second. We want you to know that this course is free in every way, in every sense of the word. And so please don't miss out on this opportunity. May I suggest that if you go through this course, some of you have already received it, or matter of fact, thousands of you have received it already, and a lot of you have gone through and finished the course. I don't know the exact number, but hundreds of you have. Now, if you have not gone through it, then please go ahead and dig it back out and fill it out and send it in so that you might be able to learn from God's Word. You will discover things in God's Word that you may have never seen before. They've been there the whole time, but for some reason, and I suspect it may be the evil one that has done this, it is very easy to miss crucial things. The evil one being Satan, doing everything he can to put blinders on us so that we do not see the crucial information that will bring the salvation of our soul. So go ahead and enroll in this course. Get it in the mail. It'll be in tomorrow's mail, Lord willing. And you're welcome to it. It is free, and don't miss out on this opportunity. It will always be free. We will never ask for a handout. We will never ask for a donation or your tithes and offerings to come to us at all. It is our honor to share with you the wealth that God intended for his creation to have. Not physically, spiritually. So don't miss out on this. So here's the details on that. If you've already received the course, go ahead and call in your question right now. 308-9564. We have one line available. So if you call right now, just let the phone ring, and we'll eventually get to you. Or you can text us at 725-928. We're back live now, and we do want you to know that this is a live broadcast, and that will be a very priceless Bible study if you choose to enroll. So don't miss out on that. We're serious when we say that we offer this free. You can ask many people, the thousands that have gone through this. That number for the free opportunity to get this course in the mail to you, even tomorrow, is 553-5157. So don't miss out on this. We'll be glad to send this to you. It is our joy, and we hope you will be blessed from it, not from us, but from God himself, as we let the Bible speak through the course in the mail. You can study it any time, middle of the night, if you're a night owl, or if you're a morning glory, then you can get up in the morning and study whenever you want to and as fast as you want to. And you fill it out, send it back. We send you the next mailing with, after we grade that, we'll send that back to you along with the next lessons and so on until the end of the course. So, again, that number is 553-5157. Don't miss out on this. By the way, if the number is busy when you call, just hang up, wait a moment or two, and hit redial. You'll eventually get through. 553-5157. So now we have calls coming in now, and it's our blessing to be able to go to the Bible for those answers. Keep them coming in. The lines are now available at 308-9564, 308-WJNI.
Yes, we have Chris calling in today. Chris, we sure appreciate you listening. Chris says, does the Bible say all religions will one day come together in harmony as one? Well, Chris, that's a very good question. I think to some degree we all would like to see something like that. The problem is the word religion really carries with it the idea of a reconnection with God. It literally means to reconnect. You know, if you take the word back to its root, the word religion back to its root, you'll find that it means to reconnect. And thus, everyone goes to the practice of religion in an effort to reconnect with God. By virtue of the fact that we say religions, plural, that there's more than one, then we're suggesting that there's more than one way to connect back with God. Well, what does God say? Well, in John chapter 14 and verse 6, John 14, this is what Jesus says in verse 6. Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So if I'm trying to connect to the Father, Jesus says he's the only way. And thus, that means that Jesus is the only belief system. He is the only belief system or religion that a person can believe in and be able to reconnect with the Father. He says, I am the way. That means there's no other way. I am the truth. That means there's no other truth. He says, I am the life. So anything outside of him would be death. And so the Bible in no way teach that all religions are going to come to one unless they all abandon their false beliefs and teachings and accept Jesus as the Christ and accept his teaching, his doctrine, as the way and the only way. Chris, I sure hope that's been helpful to you. Again, that passage is John chapter 14 and verse 6. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number here at the station, and we will take your question and try our best just to go to God's Word and answer that question. Again, that number is 308-9564.
We have a text caller calling in this question. Their last digits are 2784, and so we want to thank you for tuning in and thank you for your question, and we sure appreciate it very much. Their question is, should a Christian date a person who is not saved? Well, that's a very good question, one of which most single people should consider and to know the implications associated with that. To answer the question just in a concise way, the Bible really does not say it in those terms at all, but there is a lot of information that we can gather throughout the Bible that may help us along this line to come to a conclusion that would be pleasing to God and certain pleasing to God. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we can go to the Old Testament and see what God showed back then. And in the Old Testament, the Jews were not allowed to even marry outside their tribe during the Mosaical time of Israel. A Benjamite would have to marry a fellow Benjamite, and someone from Judah would have to marry someone from Judah. And so that was restrictions given by God there. Before there was the law of Moses and during that time of Israel is the time of Abraham. And Abraham saw the need to send his servant back to his homeland in order to find a wife for his son. And you can find this story unfold in Genesis chapter 24 and how that the servant went back. He prayed for God to help him along this line, and God did help him to find a young lady by the name of Rebecca. And he knew of characteristics that he was looking for, and this servant prayed about that. And sure enough, here was this young lady that came out to give his camels a drink and to say just exactly what he was looking for. Well, not only that, we saw several other characteristics that was very commendable about her, and thus he retrieved her and brought her back to his master for his son Isaac, and they were a husband and wife. So there's a couple of characteristics in the Old Testament. But as far as the New Testament is concerned, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about how a phrase that's often used, or a passage that's often used, talks about that we should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I know specifically that is not restricted to or exclusive of marriage relationships, but the principles were certainly true from the standpoint that if we are going to be married to someone, we need to make certain that we're going to at least be pulling in the same direction, especially when it comes down to serving God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, it says, "And what accord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? And what, for you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. They will, I will be their God, and they will be my people. Come out from among them." This whole passage talks about the how the dangers of us being connected or in fellowship with those that would not be pulling toward God. And so that is a danger, and their principle would be associated with that. But is there a verse that says they've got to be saved? Well, no, there's not a verse that specifies it that way. But we can see those principles there that certainly would be or should be paid attention to. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. That was 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the last half of the chapter there. Just read the whole last half of that chapter, and that will help you a lot. Again, the number is 308-9564. Those lines are available. We're glad to take your question, and we sure appreciate you tuning in and joining us today as we let the Bible speak. Nick, do you have a question?
I do. We have Andrew calling in today. Andrew, we sure appreciate you listening. And again, we can't stress enough how much we really do appreciate those of you who are listening and are trying to, you know, with very sincere and honest hearts, just find out what does God's Word has to say on the situations that you may have heard of or you may be in yourself. Andrew asked a question about adultery. He says, can you be forgiven for adultery? Well, Andrew, that really is a very good question. I call your attention over to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, kind of lists these types of sins. And I used to call them relationships, discussing with some other folks, that's probably not a good way of referring to this. So I'm going to call here these things as a description of a sinful situation. All right, so people find themselves in sinful situation. In verse 9, the Bible says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So here he's referring to those whom God deemed as unrighteous. It says, do not be deceived, neither fornicators. And so that's premarital sex or any type of sexual immorality. That would be a sinful situation. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. That's what you asked about, the adultery, right? That would be another sinful situation a person may find themselves in. Being in that situation makes you the unrighteous. If we go back to verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So the very first portion of verse 9 says that. So it's those who engage in fornication, those who are idolaters, so idol worshippers, those who are adulterers, those who engage in extramarital sex, or they're in an inappropriate marriage, and it's not lawful for them to be married. It says, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves. And so again, if I'm going around stealing, I am in a sinful situation, and God calls me unrighteous. Verse 10 says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, here's how we know with absolute certainty that a person can be forgiven of that. In verse 11, he says to these Christians, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Now, take and note that he uses the word, such were some of you. That lets us know that these sinful situations are not situations that they are continuing in. These were situations that they once were in. But they're no longer in these situations. At one time, they were fornicators. At one time, they were thieves. At one time, they were adulterers. That means they turned away from these sins. And so, yes, you can be forgiven, but not without repentance. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 that godly sorrow works repentance. And so that word repentance means I have to turn away. And so the thief, you know, he has to turn away from stealing. And the person who's engaged in fornication, sexual immorality, or premarital sex, those types of things, they have to turn away from it. They have to stop it. The person who's committing adultery, they have to stop committing adultery. If they're in an inappropriate marriage, well, they have to stop that relationship. That relationship is not lawful. They have to turn away from it. And so a person would have to repent of their sins in order to gain forgiveness. You know, sometimes what I think is that we want God to do something that he does not do. God does not forgive sins unless they are repented of. And so we have to turn away from our sins, ladies and gentlemen. And so, Andrew, very good question. And this is a question that I know many have on their hearts. But the simple answer is you can be forgiven if you repent of your sins. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564. It is time for us to take a break. But while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions. We're going to tell you again about this Bible Correspondence course or this in-home Bible study that you can share in. Take advantage of it. Listen closely, and if you have not signed up for it, go ahead and do it. It's going to be a help to you as you try to understand more about the things of God. Again, you can call us with your question while we're at break, so we want to encourage you once more to do that. And that number is 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live now, and we are glad that you are joining us as we go to the Bible for the answer. I hope you have your Bible ready and paper ready to write these things down. And I hope also that if you've never enrolled in the correspondence course, that you do not miss out on that. It is a very comprehensive course, and we are more than happy to send this to you. You will learn much from God's Word. By the way, there are some of you that have not only gone through the first course or the second course or the third course. I'm not talking about lessons. I'm talking about whole courses of study. Some of you have gone through, I guess, now over 10 different courses of Bible study, a series of lessons in each one of those courses, and we are glad that you have so done so. We're glad to be able to share with you, and guess what? They never paid a penny, and nor do we ask for it. We're glad to be able to help you study more from God's Word. So if you've never done this, go ahead and enroll. Again, that operator is standing by at 553-5157, and we're glad to send this to you, 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, then don't hesitate to go ahead and call right now to the studio at 308-9564, 308-9564, or if you'd rather text us, you can use your cell phone and text us at 725-9283. Nick, you have a question?
I do. Ben calls in today. Ben, we sure appreciate you listening. We know you listen week after week, and we do, again, are hopeful, we're prayerful that the things that we're sharing is a help to you. Ben asked about 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, he says, how do we cast our cares on him, and the him being God? Let's go to that text in 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to pick up in verse 6, 1 Peter 5 verse 6. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, verse 8 says, be vigilant or watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So what you have in those four verses is you have an encouragement to cast your cares upon him, verse 7. And so one of the immediate ways, Ben, that we see in this text to do that, it happens in verse 6 where he says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It takes humility to lower yourself to the point where you're no longer trusting in yourself for the answer, but rather trusting in God for the answer. It takes humility to be able to, as you find yourself faced with situations and hardships, to go to God in prayer. And so that's the way that we would approach God. We approach him by way of prayer. And that whatever the answer is, it takes humility to accept that answer and to walk away satisfied. Many times people go to God in prayer, but they're not satisfied with the answer that he gives. It takes humility to be able to accept those answers. And that's how we cast our cares upon him, by way of prayer. There's a passage in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11, and I'll leave you with this text because I think this is sufficient. It's kind of an interesting text. So how do I cast my care on him? Well, you take on his load. You give him your load. You give him your load, and you take on his load. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." See, that's your cares, isn't it? He says, "And I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Huh? I want to give him my yoke. I want to give him my burden. He says, "Take my burden. You take my yoke upon you. You learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls." So the way that you find rest to your cares and your burdens is you give him yours, and you take on his. And the way you take on his, he says, learn from me. And so you learn about the Lord. You learn about the things that he's done and sacrificed for this world. And then you prepare yourself now to obey him, whatever he says. Whatever he says, do. You take that upon yourself. You take up his cross, and you follow him daily. That's what you have to do. You have to change. You have to, if you're in sin, you have to turn away from sin. You have to repent of your sins. You have to do whatever he says. If he says to confess him before men, then you have to confess him before men. If he says be baptized into him, then you have to be baptized into him. If he says be faithful unto death, as it's recorded in the book of Revelation, then you have to be faithful unto death. And that whatever he says to you, just do that. And you will find rest to your souls. But Jesus says in verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden," you know, by contrast to yours, "my burden is light." I hope that's been helpful, Ben. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have Leon calling in this question. Leon, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for calling in your question. And his question is, would you please explain Hebrews chapter 12? Leon, thank you for your question. By the way, those of you that are waiting to call, now's a good chance. We have one line available, 308-9564, or you can text us. If you'd rather use your cell phone to text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Leon's question is, explain Hebrews chapter 12. Well, Leon, first of all, the chapter is a bleed over from chapter 11, where he had just mentioned a whole list of notable people that were faithful to him in every way, and from time of old, from Enoch all the way to Abraham, to many others that are listed. And so that's kind of what we call a hall of fame of faith. It's just a whole listing of people that God noted was faithful to him, and how that their faith was just not merely in words, but it was in action. And thus, in chapter 12, we see that he says, "Therefore, that we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight which so easily besets us or ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider him who endured such hostilities from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." And so then he starts talking in reference to how that sometimes problems will occur. And he talks about it and refers to it as possibly the chastening of the Lord. And he says, don't get discouraged by that, for the Father chastens those whom he loves. And so God may allow some of this, and it will work out to our good if we will just hang in there and let him have his way. So there he shows the endurance and discipleship and what that looks like and how it should be followed. Well, then beginning with verses 18 through 24, you see a contrast between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion, and how that now we have come to the real mountain, and that we're going to worship and serve God in Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to the innumerable company of angels and this great assembly of the church of the firstborn. In other words, we're going to be part of the greatest thing from the very beginning, and that is his people. Well, then the chapter ends with warnings against defying that, following after things that man may come up with, teachings that man may come up with. And he ends the chapter with, therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore, you want to look and see what it is there for. Well, we just did that, and now here's the warning. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Oh, by the way, did you notice that? It's not like many of the false teachers that say the kingdom of God has not been set up yet. They were receiving it back then, receiving the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So he warns us, we've got to stay the course. We've got to show ourselves approved unto God, and what he wants has got to be all that matters. Leon, I hope that's been helpful to you. It is an awesome chapter. The chastening there kind of scares you a little bit. It scares me because sometimes that chastening may be allowed simply because that's exactly what we need. And if we have to receive that in order to him to get our attention, then so be it. Bring it on. As Paul said, as Christ told Paul about his thorns in the flesh, my grace is sufficient for you. So as long as we make it to heaven, bring on whatever this life brings. And then in the end, if we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, oh, no matter what we've been through here, we'll have so been worth it. Thanks, Leon. We hope and pray that you will continue such questions and such quests as you go and show yourself approved to God. Thanks for listening, and thank you for your question. Again, the numbers are 3089564. That is the voice line. Or if you would rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. The choice of how to communicate with us is up to you. The questions, they're up to you. The theme that we're going to be talking about, well, that's your choice as well. The answers will come from God, because we're going to let the Bible speak to the questions on your mind. So the numbers, 3089564 is the voice line. The text line is 725-9283. Nick, you have a question here?
Yes, we have a text caller that, that texts in the question. I believe this text question came in last week as well. The last three digits is 046. Says, is there anything in the Bible that discusses sexual, it says sexual morality, and I'm thinking maybe you're talking about sexual immorality, that may be incorrect. Sexual morality for married individuals besides adultery. Now, adultery would fall into the category of sexual immorality. And so when we look in the scriptures, if you look at Matthew, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 9, you'll see that segment on where Jesus is talking about, about marriage and divorce and remarriage, and the person who puts away his spouse, except for, and the word that's translated there is fornication or sexual immorality, commits adultery. The word fornication, as it's used within the Bible most often, falls into that category of sexual immorality. So that's really what it's translated, sexual immorality. The Greek word is porneia. And it really represents, in the broadest sense, any inappropriate sexual relationship. And so the way I like to think about it, it's the idea that sexual morality is the broadest sense of inappropriate sexual behavior. And then the specific cases are things like adultery, things like premarital sex, things like same-sex relationships, so homosexuality. And we see kind of a listing of those things in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians 6 chapter, and I think we read this earlier as well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about those whom God view as the unrighteous, at least according to this text. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And it goes on to say, neither fornicators, there's our word, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, and it gives a listing. But in this grouping of those that will not inherit the kingdom of God, you find a variety of sexual sins. And these sexual sins fall into the category of sexual immorality. So I hope that's been helpful to you. I hope that will aid you as you're trying to better understand this particular subject. I know it's a challenging subject. It is time for us to take a break. So even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to go ahead and call in your questions. The lines are open, or you can send us a text question. That text number is 725-9283, 725-9283. Or you can call us at the station here with your question, 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We want to encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course that's available to you. Again, go ahead and call the operator standing by. That's 553-5157. 553-5157. The lines are open if you would like to get your question in on today's broadcast. Go ahead and call right now. What happens from time to time is that we get a lot of questions at the end of the broadcast. And so right now where it's fairly quiet, you can call in your question, and you will be pretty much first on deck. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564. Or if you prefer, you can text in your question. Again, that number is 725-9283. That's 725-9283. And we will do our best to just let the Bible speak. Take advantage of the opportunity right now. 308-9564 is the number at the station, so go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564.
It will be our honor to be able to find what the Bible says. We'll go to the Bible for the answer, and thus, hopefully, Lord willing, we will be able to, God will be glorified, all of us will be strengthened as we go to His Word for the answer. So don't hesitate to call in your question right now. The voice line is 308-9564. Just for those of you that have tuned in after the program began, you may choose to go live over the air if you would like. You can ask your question live over the air. The only thing that we ask is that you give us your name and then also that you be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be a confusing echo that would cause you to hesitate and cause confusion. So be ready to turn your radio down and give us your name so we can address you in a courteous fashion. 308-9564 is the number, or if you'd rather, you can just text us with your cell phone, 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. We do want you to know you can go to our website and have your relatives or friends overseas or in other parts of the nation join in right now, that simply by going to www.BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com, and they can hit the live stream button and join us as we go to the Bible for the answers. We want to let you know that also we offer, if you would like to host a Let the Bible Speak or a Bible study there in your home or in your neighborhood, then please call the operator standing by and we can make those arrangements as well. Especially if you live in the Goose Creek, Ladson, North Charleston, Hanahan, Somerville area, please do not hesitate to call. We are more than happy to make those arrangements and be able to have a Bible study there in your home, and your family and friends can be able to ask those questions. Again, that number is 553-5157, 553-5157, and we will be glad to make those arrangements. The operator is standing by right now at 553-5157. So if you have already enrolled in the course, then go ahead and take this opportunity when the we caught up on the question, so go ahead and call in your question right now at 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, or you can text in your question at 725-9283, 725-9283. Nick, sometimes people ask us a question about all of the various things that are being taught in the various churches about how to go to heaven versus not, or the various ways and the many different ways. Instead of us focusing in on some of the eras, what does the Bible actually say to that crucial question of how we should go to heaven? Is it something that is an experience? Is it a genealogical thing because we are family and we've got so many friends that are that are religious or in such and such a church. Well, exactly what is it that is the crucial ingredient, and what is it that is often left out of those ingredients of how to become and how to become a child of God, and how to have the true hope of going to heaven?
You know, Ricky, that's a very good question. When we look at the Bible, what we'll see is that God has made this, he's really made this super simple. He has. Because he's created a place, a necessary place for everyone to be who desire to go to heaven. The Bible shows in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 24, that then cometh the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom to the Father. Now, what we come to understand through a study of God's Word, that kingdom over which Jesus is the king, or Jesus is the head, is the church. And so as long as a person is in the kingdom, in the church, then when the end comes, Jesus will deliver up that kingdom to the Father. And so the necessary place that a person has to be is in the kingdom, in the church that Jesus Christ said he was going to build. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through 18, he says that he's going to build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so Jesus would build his church. The Bible shows us in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 that he's the head of the church. And so Jesus is in charge of it. And so all we need to do now is just find out, how does a person get in the church? Thereby, by being in the church, a person really is in Christ. Because the Bible says in Colossians 1 verse 18 that the church is his body. That's where we have to be, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody who wishes to go to heaven has to be in Christ, thereby being in the church. And the example that we see where that occurs is in the book of Acts.
You know, you don't hear that very often. You hear, I need to be saved. Or the question usually that is posed is, well, tell me about your conversion experience. And you hear all of these things, but as far as that phrase, in Christ, that's certainly biblical, but that's not something that people commonly talk about.
You're absolutely correct. In fact, I'm going back in my memory right now, and I don't recall, in various conversations where I'm talking to people who are religious, people who are trying to become students of the Bible, I'm going in my mind, and I just don't recall them ever talking about being in Christ. We do talk about, you know, being saved, or we use words of being saved, or and even that brings a certain amount of confusion, or the idea, I'm a Christian. So we use that word very loosely. And I just think it's necessary when we're trying to deal with the things of God, we have to deal with the things of God using the terminology that God used. And so when you look at passages like in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it talks about the spiritual blessings that God has available, but all those spiritual blessings exist in one location. And in that text, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says in Christ, or in him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, let me just read this real quick. It says, blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So that's where I need to be. I need to be in Christ to come in contact with these blessings. You take a note, verse 7 of the same text. The Bible says, in him, that's in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so over and over again, you'll find this language of in him, especially in this text here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. So again, all that God has to offer, all salvation exists in him. In Galatians chapter 3 will bring out how a person gets in him. In Galatians, the third chapter, the Bible talks about a person that... The Bible says that we're all the children of God in Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, picking up in verse 26, says, for you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so the Bible can't be no more clear than that. The necessary place for a person to be is in Christ. And here it says that a person gets into Christ when they're baptized into Christ. Now, certainly there's more things that a person has to do. And so for those of you who may be listening, if you would like to study this further, we'll encourage you to go ahead and call the operator standing by and let her know that you're interested in understanding more about this idea of being in Christ. and we will try to set up a time to come and sit with you. That number is 553-5157. That's 553-5157.
The number here to call in your question is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Now, as you call, you can go live over the air if you would like to. Just mention that to the operator that answers, or you can have your question written down and brought in to us. Either way, we want your question, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. Or if you'd rather, you can text us through your cell phone, like the next question is, and we are glad to be able to get your question that way as well. That number, if you'd like to text us, is 725-9283, 725-9283, and we will get your question, and it will be answered on today's broadcast. Either way, we're going to let the Bible speak. We're going to let God be the one that answers it, and we'll go to His Word. If there is an answer, we will go to His Word. Now, the question that is in my hand right now from this text question is, by the way, the last three digits are 084 from the texter. The question is, by using birth control, is that a sin? Because the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. Well, thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it very much, and thank you for tuning in today and going through the Bible with us as we go to the answer. Well, you're right. The Bible does say, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That was the command that was given. It was given before the flood. It was given after the flood as well. In the New Testament, we do not have that phrase. But as far as birth control, is that a sin? There is nothing in the Bible that says birth control is a sin. The phrase birth control or controlling birth is not even mentioned. I did a quick glance to find out how many times the Bible mentions the mother and her ability to bring children from her womb. And dozens of times it mentions that. As far as God opening the womb, usually is referring to the firstborn child being born, and so it was not a matter of God being the one that actually is trying to restrict or continue or bring about. His joy is, or he actually would have us to rejoice over those that depart to be with the Lord forever. And a proverb would bring out that that we should cry almost when someone comes into this world. And so there's a lot of things associated with that that would be question marks. Let me go ahead and add this to you before we go to our break. And that is, if we're actually murdering an unborn child, then that certainly would be wrong. And there are drugs out there now that are perfectly legal that you can have readily get access to. I think the morning after pill, I think maybe is what it might be referred to quite often. Whatever the case, if it is killing a child, and a child is one that is from conception, a person is a person from conception. You see that in Psalm 139. You see John the Baptist, while he was still in the womb, knew what was going on. There's many examples where that is verified in God's Word. And so we want to be careful about not killing a child, whether it is born or not. The only time God would condone killing of a child is when they are rebellious. In the Old Testament, they were to be taken out of the city and stoned. And so that was certainly a problem, and they were to be dealt with. However, that it would be the only time that God would say something like that should occur. Unborn, nothing about that other than that they are a person. So we're certainly not saying that that is appropriate to kill an unborn child. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. We sure do appreciate your question and hope and pray that you will continue to listen week after week as we let the Bible speak. Thank you so much for your text question. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call. We're going to break. And while we are at break, we do want you to know that you can continue to call in your questions, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, or if you'd rather text us, you can do that as well, 725-9283. The voice line is available. There's no waiting in line, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We're glad that you're here, and we hope and pray that you are being blessed from what God says in His Word as we let the Bible speak. So go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. Those of you that sometimes do not get in as quick as you want to, now is your opportunity to jump in with your question, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Now, word about the correspondence course. Many of you have taken advantage of this, and we are glad that you have, but there are no doubt many of you have not taken advantage of this. We are more than happy to send this correspondence course to you. It is free of charge. You will be blessed because you're learning from what God says in His Word. And so there's an operator standing by right now to take your information, and we'll get this course in the mail to you. And listen up. We will never ask for a donation. We are happy to send this to you free of charge. Sometimes you call and ask, well, how can you do this? Because people that assemble together on the first day of the week in Goose Creek with us, they are interested in you. They want you to know what God says. And many of us have been had blinders on, and we had been deceived by what we had heard in the past and not looking at God's Word as the exclusive truth, as the exclusive authority. And so we do not want anyone to be so beguiled. And so they want you to know the truth, and they are funding this. And so please do not miss out on this opportunity to get the blinders off. See what God says. We're all going to meet Him one day. I was talking to someone this week about Charles Darwin, how that he was the father of modern evolution theories. And they asked about that, and I said, oh, did you know that he believes in God now? And they say, he does? How do you know? I said, because he can see God. He can see what he's missing. Because once we leave this life, if we find ourselves and we are not right in God's sight, then we will be able to see what we're missing. If the story of the rich man and Lazarus is just like Jesus told it, then, yeah, we're going to be able to see what it is we're missing. So he is certainly a believer in God now. So let's make certain that we do not wait that long. Let us make certain that we find out how to be pleasing to God here and now. So go ahead and enroll in this course. The operator is standing by at 553-5157. Don't miss out on getting this correspondence course to you free of charge. How neat is that? We'll be glad to send it to you. It'll be in tomorrow's mail. And then once you get it, don't just let it sit there. Study it. Go through God's Word. Look up every passage. Make certain whether those things are right. And then put them in your life. Apply them as you learn them. That operator, again, is standing by at 553-5157. Now, before we go to the next question, please know the lines are now available, 308-9564. Those lines are available. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Nick, you have a question?
Yes, we have a text question coming in. Last three digits is 081. 081. I think this is very similar to questions that we've had earlier today, talking about inappropriate sexual relationships. And in this particular case, the caller asked about what we're going to call having a sexual relationship with yourself. Is that authorized? Again, that would fall into the same category as the word that we defined earlier, fornication or porneia. So again, that word fornication is sometimes translated fornication. But the word really is sexual immorality. It comes from the Greek word porneia. So it's the broadest sense of any type of inappropriate sexual relationship. God has only authorized one appropriate type of sexual relationship, and that happens between a husband and a wife. And I think there's a passage there in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews the 13th chapter, I believe it's verse 4, that talks about what God will accept. In Hebrews the 13th chapter, verse 4, the Bible says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed, that is to say, the marriage bed, is undefiled. And so, see, that's the appropriate place. And so we ought not get squeamish or even feel uncomfortable talking about sexual relationship inside of marriage because that's what God intended. That was God's plan. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's absolutely wholesome. In such a relationship, you can bring forth children because that's what God wants. And in such a relationship, you can raise children because that's what God wants. And the end result of raising children in that relationship is you would work to connect those children back to God. Psalms 127 and verse 3 says, in Psalms 127 verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord," or Jehovah, "and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." And so children come from God, and it's God's intent that the marital relationship, the family, would be the place where that child would receive love and encouragement and would be brought up in the admonition of the Lord. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. The father's supposed to bring their children up and nurture the admonition of the Lord, verse 1 and 2 in that text, and connect their children back to God. That's the intent. And so the marital relationship is absolutely appropriate for a sexual relationship, for bringing forth children. But there's no other lawful relationship, according to the scripture, that would allow for a person to engage in any type of sexual activity. Any type of sexual activity outside of a godly marriage would be sin, would be sexual immorality. That's going to be that word porneia, and thus it's going to be unauthorized. I hope that's helpful. Very good questions. I know these are tough questions, but very good questions. Because at the end of the day, we want to be right in the sight of God. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak, 308-9564. If you wish, you can send us a text question. The text line is 725-9283, 725-9283. We may have mentioned earlier of the website that's available to you. That's www.biblealone.com, www.biblealone.com. You can go there and you can look at other resources that's available to you, as well as be able to listen to previously recorded broadcasts. So you can go through and take your time and consider the things that we've shown out of God's Word to make sure those things are so. Do not take our words for it. We are mere men. We are mere flesh and blood. Do not place your faith, your trust in man, but only in the one true and living God. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ, but don't trust us. And the way you show God that you're trusting him is you go and you validate the things that he says in his inspired word. You make sure these things are so. But if you see these things are so, you change, friends. You change your life. You change the way you walk. You change the way you talk. You change the way you live. You change the way you give. You change. And so you have to prepare yourself to change. We have Shantae calling in. Shantae says, what does the Bible say about second and third marriages? What does the Bible say about second and third marriages? I'll take you over to, again, the book of Matthew, the 19th chapter, and the Bible talks about marriage there. And the only reason given in that text for divorce, is if your spouse has committed, again, fornication, that word, gone outside the boundaries of that marriage and joined themselves to another. If that has not happened, then you're not authorized to remarry. And if you do, then you're engaged in sexual immorality. Let's read that text now, Matthew chapter 19, just verse 9. Jesus is speaking, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. And so if my spouse did not cheat on me and I put them away for that, and I go out and I marry again, God says I've committed adultery. And whoever I marry, God says I'm causing them to commit adultery as well. And so, again, it's just not authorized unless your spouse has committed fornication, have gone outside the boundaries of the marriage, unless they've cheated on you, and you put them away for that cause. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have a text caller with the last three digits of 111, and their question is, when did the wine at the wedding Jesus was at turn to wine? Well, it was water that turned to wine. And so when it's in, recorded in John chapter 2, in John chapter 2, it brings out with detail that he had the pots that were filled with water. And as he filled them with water, he had them taken to the magistrate or the master of the feast. And John chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. Now there were set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he did not know where it came from. But the servants had drawn the water new. And the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said, he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. When the guests have well drunk, then they bring out the inferior. But you have kept the good wine until now. This was the beginning of Jesus, of the signs of Jesus that he did at Cana of Galilee. And so there we can see that was the very first miracle that Jesus did. He was 30 years old in the process of doing this, and thus he was able to begin his a miraculous work, or the Holy Spirit working through him to do these miracles and to God's glory. He would take many times, those of you that are curious about this, the miracles and signs which Jesus did were for a purpose. In Hebrews chapter 2, it speaks of that purpose, and we should not forget that there was a purpose behind the miracles and signs. It wasn't just because to impress people like a magician or so on. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 2, it says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. That was the purpose. That was the whole reason behind the miracles and signs. It was not a matter of just trying to do good unto mankind, which he did choose miracles that would heal people. But the purpose was to confirm that word with those signs following. Did you see that? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles. So look at that again, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And you'll see the whole reason why all those miracles were done back then was to confirm the word. Now, my friend, if we have all of his word now, and it has been confirmed as it was back then we must listen to his word alone. We must let the Bible speak to our hearts so that we can show ourselves approved to him. Time for us to take our last break, and thus we're able to offer to you this correspondence course. So don't miss out on this. There's an operator standing by right now, and don't miss out on getting this course sent to you this week, even in tomorrow's mail. The number 553-5157 is the number to call for her. But now if you have a question, don't miss out on today's broadcast. This is our last segment. The number here is 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak. We are back live now. This is our last segment, so if you want your question answered, you better hurry and call it in right now. 308-9564 is the number. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will be glad to go to the Bible to hopefully find the answer to the question that is on your mind. 308-9564, 308-WJNI.
308-9564, that's the number to call. And again, as was mentioned, you can go ahead and text us. This is our last segment. So go ahead and text us at 725 725-9283. We have a follow-up question on marriage and divorce, and this is one of those specific cases. And the challenge is when we go into the scriptures and we're trying to apply those specific cases, we have to just focus on the text. And so I'm going to let Ricky bring out a couple of passages on this text concerning this particular question. I'll read the question, and then we'll both kind of work on this particular question together. It says, a couple gets divorced because of fornication. The husband got remarried, then divorced the second wife, and now is trying to return to the first wife. Is this scripturally okay or right in God's sight?
Well, Matthew chapter 19, of course, brings out the only reason that someone can rightly be able to have freedom to marry again would be because of fornication. And so the question does not explain the second divorce or the meaning there. So therefore, we cannot answer based upon that. But let's go to an Old Testament principle. Again, we're not going to be judged by this, but we can see God's attitude associated with this expressed in Deuteronomy chapter 24. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 24, it expresses this in a very similar fashion. It says, beginning with verse 1, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in the eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, and puts it in her hand and sends her out of the house. When she has departed from the house and goes and becomes another man's wife, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies so that who took her to be her his wife, then her former husband, according to what we just read there, who divorced her, must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled. So somehow that is refers to her as being defiled. For that is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin in the land which the Lord your God has given you. You are you as an inheritance. And so that seemed to be an abomination before the Lord back then, even though that's not the law that we are going to be judged by. It'll be based upon what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19. But that idea of going back to the previous seems to be highly questionable. And so if it were for me in that situation, I would not, simply because I don't want to do anything that would cause God to be displeased with me at all. Eternity is too long, hell is too hot, and heaven is too wonderful for me to put any of that in jeopardy. So there we can see an attitude of the heart that is expressed by God there. There may be other implications associated with that because of the abuse of women, but that seems to be an attitude that is expressed. And so Matthew 19 is what we'll be judged by, verses 5 through 12. It may be that this individual may have to become a eunuch for the rest of his life because of the question marks associated with his marriages or their marriages. And so it is best to go through eternity with God in heaven than to miss out on eternity with God, but simply because of a few passionate desires in this short time that we call life. So it's just best to not have any question marks at all about our serving our Lord. Again, the number is 308-9564. You better hurry to get your question in before we run out of time, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have another question coming in on that subject. The last three digits is 942. It says, in reference to the previous conversation from Matthew 9 or 19, it's Matthew 19, it says, what if the marriage is abusive? Well, there's nothing in God's Word that would say that a person in an abusive marriage, be it male or female, that is grounds for divorce. Matthew 19 shows that the only grounds for divorce would be if your spouse has gone outside the boundaries of that marriage. The word that's used there is fornication or sexual immorality. So if they commit sexual immorality, then that would be grounds for marriage. There is a provision, however, that lets us know That if a person may find himself in such a situation, they may seek to apply this particular text in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. First Corinthians, the 7th chapter. In verse 10, it says, "Now unto the married I command, yet not I, Paul says, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband." Verse 11, "But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife." And so if a woman decides to, God says he doesn't want to see a woman depart from her husband, and likewise a husband depart from his wife. But if each individual decides to do that, God says they have to remain unmarried or reconcile to each other. And so a person could get out of, or separate from an abusive husband, or a husband can separate from an abusive wife if by their choice. Now, that is, I can't authorize it. Paul didn't authorize it here. He just simply says that if a person chooses to do that, they have to remain unmarried or reconciled to their original spouse. And so there is a provision for someone getting out for the sake of safety. I know that that is a concern for folks. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have Van Hannigan calling in this question. The question is, where is the best place to begin studying the Bible? Oh, that's an awesome question. Thank you so much for your question, very much. We sure do appreciate that. I would say when you look in the Old Testament, that book, that part of the Bible is about the Messiah is coming. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have the Messiah has come. And then the rest of the New Testament is the Messiah is coming again. The Christ is coming again to judge the world. So the center would be, we need to know Christ. We need to be very intimate with him. So I would pick out, if I were you, one of the Gospels, maybe the book of Luke, and read the book of Luke, and just read it through. And whether it takes you a couple of 3 hours or a couple of 3 days, then just read the book of Luke. And then immediately go to Luke's next book, which is the book of Acts, which picks up right at the end of the book, the Gospel of Luke. And that tells about the result of Christ dying on the cross to begin his church. And thus it is the formula, the how to become or develop and enter a relationship with the Christ to bring salvation. In Acts chapter 2, you have 3,000. You have thousands more added as the book proceeds. Matter of fact, you have many examples of how people became children of God in the book of Acts. Matter of fact, it's the only book that tells how people began that journey and examples of it. And so there are several examples. By the way, if you want more on those, the book of Acts and the conversion, you can go to our website at BibleAlone.com and look at the Bible resources or Bible study materials, and you can download that and be able to have an index of those in the book of Acts. So that's where I would start. Maybe read the book of Luke and then follow it up with the book of Acts. And thus, you'll be able to be blessed by God himself as we go to the Bible and read what God says. We know that you have a passion to serve the Lord, and we thank you so much for that. For it is God himself that is only one that can bless us eternally. And so you are to be commended for taking out time on these Sunday afternoons to join us as we go to the Bible for the answers. We hope and pray that you're taking full advantage of all of our resources with the correspondence course and also the website. We want to thank you for joining us today. Please continue to call in each and every week as we let the Bible speak.